Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Rising Ecosystems podcast, a bi-weekly show that delves into the world of startups, innovation, and the communities that surround them. I'm Alex Owen Hunt, FDI's Global Markets Editor, and I'm joined by
me, Jessie Bellow-Perez, a tech and business journalist and editor of Unleash, which is a new media platform covering the future of work. And we're back. We're continuing our tour of rising ecosystems across the UK, and this time we're off to Belfast.
We are indeed. So already in our series, we've explored several UK startup ecosystems, including Cambridge, Leeds, Glasgow, and our latest episode in Birmingham. Please subscribe to the FDI podcast to get access to all our previous episodes and be notified about our future content. But now, this week, Jesse, marked a year after UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson imposed a lockdown. So a year on, how are you doing?
What is time, really? I mean, I'm okay. I'm just patiently waiting for the vaccine. Fed up, as I imagine everybody listening to this will be, and just hopeful that there really is light at the end of the tunnel, because I think if not, then we're all possibly going to go mad. How about you?
I think there's glimmers of hope. The sun is shining a little bit more in London at the moment. Although, you know, classic with UK weather, it's never too hot. But no, I'm doing fine. I'm definitely looking forward to getting my vaccine, although I'm sure I'm pretty far back in the queue. I also have a sort of glimmer of hope in terms of my work setup. Next week, I'll be able to return tentatively to the FT offices, and very much looking forward to that and having some face-to-face interaction with colleagues. In light of COVID, of course, we are continuing to explore these startup ecosystems. Before we get into the meat of our conversation, any thoughts or impressions of Belfast from your reporting, Jesse?
Yep. So I have to say, it's not somewhere that I've reported on heavily in the past, but is definitely something that's always been on my radar, particularly when I was at UKTN. And one of our guests actually for today is someone I've known since my UKTN days. So that's about 5 years now. And I know that he's been fully immersed in the ecosystem, but also he's been working in several other tech companies further afield. So I'm just really excited to get a real sense of what's going on the ground and, you know, what challenges people are up against, but also what are the opportunities. And I know that you've been to Belfast as well. I went a few years ago. Admittedly, I only really drove through it to go to a wedding in Donegal, but I would just love to go back.
Definitely. I mean, I also only sort of passed through Belfast. Big caveat, at FDI Intelligence, we have a data team based in Belfast and some fantastic colleagues of mine, some great talent. So definitely excited to find out a bit more about the ecosystem in that regard. I suppose the main takeaway, having not explored Belfast really in that much detail when I visited, is the countryside around the city is beautiful. But of course, we're here to discuss the startup ecosystem and the innovation all around there. So as you mentioned, we have one guest who I'll let you introduce in a moment. But our first guest is Jane Brady, who is the Digital Innovation Commissioner at Belfast City Council. Now, Jane brings a wealth of diverse experience, including being a partner in a venture capital firm, working in corporates in several countries around the world. And really, as her role as digital commissioner, has an overview of the intersection between the public, private and academic sector and how policy is trying to drive forward this innovation ecosystem. So Jane will have some very exciting things to say about the Belfast ecosystem. But who is our second guest that you've known since your UKTN days, Jesse?
Oh, mystery. So I'm talking about Henry Joseph Grant, who is currently the CEO and co-founder at a startup in stealth mode. But the reason why he's on the show is because his experience also spans several years across different companies in technology, across several different other ecosystems in Europe. So interestingly, he was previously at Just Eat, which is obviously a company that most of us will know went public a few years ago. He's also invested in some startups, and he's also mentored several other startups through well-known outfits such as Pi Labs, which focuses on the prop tech space, but also Seedcamp, which was, of course, is the London-based early stage startup investor.
Fantastic. So clearly a wealth of experience from our two guests to explore the Belfast ecosystem. In fact, our chat with Jane and Henry was so engaging that we've decided to split this episode into two parts. So over the next 25 minutes or so, you will hear the first part of the episode, and the second part will be coming out next Friday. Now, before we get into things, I need to give our data headline for the week. According to data provider PitchBook, Belfast attracted $56.4 million of venture capital investment in 2020, which was its highest level on record. So clearly, investors are seeing the potential of the Belfast ecosystem. So to find out more, I started our conversation by asking Jane to walk us through how the ecosystem got to where it is today.
The startup ecosystem all starts with the people and the talent. And actually, Belfast has always, over decades and hundreds of years, in fact, been a city of entrepreneurs and inventors. And it's also had a highly resilient spirit and endeavour as well. So I think that that's where it all starts. Obviously, we have got significant companies such as Heartstein, the first inventor of the portable defibrillator, recently acquired by Stryker as part of that DNA and heritage. But I guess the areas that we have developed and become more famous for in other days has resulted from kind of long-term strategies, both with government and academia, and both in our industry base, to develop those clusters. I think one of the key standout elements of those is in the area of cyber security. So investment decisions made 15, 20 years ago, coupled with academia and with the public sector, in terms of identifying those areas where we had nascent strengths, a lot of the background in networking and the investments that have been made in the FDI sector, the likes of Nortel and Fujitsu, have brought those nascent strengths in networking, but also looking forward to the establishment of challenges such as cyber and what that might mean. And I guess future scoping, that there could be opportunities for Northern Ireland and for Belfast to lead in those areas, so putting investment perspectives in place. And I think if you take that path and you look to where we are now, with one of the US FDI centers for cybersecurity, 2,500 professionals employed in that sector, where we have grown from that perspective is quite considerable. And that's allowed us to play a lead in that global sector. And that's just one of the sectors where we lead. There are also really strong bases in our health and life sciences, and of course in our advanced manufacturing, which has been built on the platform of our background in shipbuilding and in aeronautics and our strong manufacturing heritage. So again, bringing those strong platforms, but delivering those in the context of a future-looking perspective of what will be the key technologies that we can develop to make us more competitive as we progress. I think also a key aspect has been looking towards how we create that ecosystem and how we invest in the future. So I think the recent investment announcements in the city deals and growth deals across Northern Ireland, and particularly the £1 billion investment in the Belfast Region City Deal, which is investing in £350 million in digital innovation, that's identifying a number of key sectors. And I talked about those strong heritage in our advanced manufacturing sector. So this will build a factory of the future in the Belfast region. There are three investments going into our health and life sciences, and we've all seen how critical innovations and technology has been in the last 12 months. So they will invest in clinical testing as centres of excellence in connected health, but also the big data of health and life sciences, building again on our cyber and our advanced electronics background. And then the fifth of those, I guess, builds on a really encouraging new sector that's developed within Northern Ireland on the back of our screen and media heritage and our champion, the Game of Thrones through HBO. And it is a centre of excellence for screen and media and creative labs, of which we will partner with very significant global players in our perspective. So the ability to see that actually we can develop the platform that we have in terms of our core sectors over the last 100 years and make those ready for the next generation of our entrepreneurs coming forward, but also look towards those new areas of opportunity, such as screen and media innovation, I think provides a really compelling platform for what the future can look like in Belfast and in the Northern Ireland region.
Well, that is really a fantastic deep dive and overview, Jane. Thank you so much. And definitely sets the context for our conversation. I mean, about the screen industries, we certainly have reported on that in FDI Intelligence and its potential for urban regeneration and creating jobs. But I'm really keen to hear an entrepreneur's perspective on the Belfast ecosystem. And I know, Henry, you mentioned you've been in many different hubs across the world and the several startups that you've been involved in. I wonder if you've been keeping track of the ecosystem and what your feeling is of being an entrepreneur within the ecosystem today.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. I mean, just echoing what Jane said initially, obviously tenacity and, resilience is part of the DNA in the North, right? I mean, obviously with the legacy of the Troubles and the history of Northern Ireland, that's kind of part and package of the people, right? I mean, we're very much a hardworking, tenacious group of people. What I'd probably really want to highlight is that the key thing is really how small the North is, right? You can pretty much get anywhere within an hour or so. There's only 1.8 million people, so 70% roughly is working age. It's a very close-knit, small place. And in my opinion, the Belfast ecosystem tag is actually almost misleading because many people who are part of it, key stakeholders, are from and live elsewhere all over the North and sometimes beyond with the diaspora, right? So there are many startups in Belfast who actually have very little of their operations in Belfast. And in reality, they're based in places like Newry, Derry, the Antrim coast, etc. And I think as Belfast is a famous city, it's natural for it to act as a magnet for that reason, just as London has or Berlin has for the UK or Germany. I do think there's a key differentiation to be made here. There's a difference between obviously business and entrepreneurialism in business and technology startups and that ecosystem, right? So I think there's sometimes a blurred line between both. Entrepreneurialism, again, is part of the DNA in Northern Ireland. I mean, whether it was the textile industry in Derry, in the history of that, the agriculture industry, the building industry, etc., the pharmaceutical industry in Newry, etc. I mean, there's been some hugely successful businesses that have came out of, small towns and villages even in the North. And also, of course, Belfast is a natural driver of that as well. I think for me, being in other hubs, as you called it, around the world, everywhere's different. And I think obviously, for me personally, I've always had the desire to actually return home to do my startup. To be completely blunt, I actually thought it would be career suicide for me to do it a few years ago. I've always kept my tabs on the ecosystem. I've mentored probably upwards of 100 entrepreneurs over the years from the North. And, some of the challenges that it was encountering, it's not always going to be a utopian environment. There's always going to be challenges. But it wasn't actually that desirable for me to go back and do a startup there because I just felt that if I did, I would be four steps behind where I'd be in most other places, really. So, it wasn't as attractive for me as the likes of Lisbon, Berlin, London, etc. That being said, the great work that, people like Jane is doing, Intertrade Ireland, with their All-Ireland Innovation Programme and the other stuff that they do. The two amazing universities in Ulster and Queen's and a lot of the other stakeholders such as Ignite Accelerator and Raise and a few other people as well. It's really created a great collection of critical mass now in the technology startup space. Obviously things are really, really getting going now. As Jane mentioned, obviously, you've got a great cybersecurity kind of critical mass. But what I would say, because obviously I'm not on the policy side, I'm on the other side, so I can be honest as much as I want really without actually any kind of implications. I actually have always seen Northern Ireland as a bit of a service centre, right? So you've had the likes of, the big four accountancy firms coming in, getting exceptionally gifted and talented technical talent, coders, developers, engineers, whatever you want to call it, for very, very little money, right? So our actual brain drain of our diaspora has been huge over the years because if you stay in Northern Ireland for the beautiful lifestyle and the great people and the perks of being there, then it comes at a cost in terms of your earning potential, which is why obviously the UK, the US, Australia and other places around the world are such an attractive draw for people. Over the last sort of decade, I've been going back and, really engaging with the ecosystem. I actually set up a project called Peace Tech a few years ago, which was actually to build on the legacy of the Troubles. And really use startups and innovation as a way to kind of unite people and bring people together, really. I actually abandoned the idea because I actually realized that I was actually in over my head because there's been people that's been working on the post-conflict situation of the Troubles in Northern Ireland for a lot longer than I have. And even those guys that are obviously professionals in that field were really struggling to actually be able to get that economical shift, which is a really part and parcel, integral part of the actual post-conflict situation in Northern Ireland. And I think a lot of people presume that, the Troubles are completely over, et cetera. And while that's largely true, there's still undercurrents of, things that are not great about Northern Ireland in terms of the division and the politics, et cetera, which sometimes can create a lot of noise. Again, going back into my perception that it wasn't a place where I wanted to go and do business until I felt it was the time was right. And I feel that now I can hand on a heart say that the time is right now. Super special things are happening. The pace is really being lifted now in terms of actually, you know, equalizing the actual key stakeholders, you know, on a parallel with other ecosystems. And I actually feel, to me, that actually there isn't another part of the UK or Ireland which is more exciting than Belfast right now. And obviously, as I say, again, it's a kind of a misleading term because it involves people from all over the north. But I'm absolutely super proud to be back. I think it's a great place to scale, and I'm very confident I can actually create a world leading business based from there and scale from there.
This is so exciting, especially like a lot of your story resonated with me. I'm not an entrepreneur by any means, but I do come from a family of entrepreneurs. And as you know, Henry, I'm not sure if Jane does, but I'm originally Spanish and obviously have been in London for a couple of decades now, actually. But the thing that you said about, you know, leaving what you call home and then wanting to go back and start a business there, and, you know, but also having the fear of how that's going to pan out and work out, I think really resonated. And I think that's really interesting. I also wonder, just on that note, whether you're both seeing more entrepreneurs from outside of Northern Ireland essentially go back home and start businesses there, and what impact that's having in terms of employment and across the whole ecosystem.
I also left Northern Ireland. It was during the Troubles, and I didn't apply for any jobs here when I graduated, because there wasn't both, I guess it was that instability, but there wasn't the opportunity to do world-class roles, in my view. And actually, that is totally transformed. I cannot think of anywhere better in the UK or in the world that there is to be at this current system. And when I say Belfast, I'm talking again, the agglomeration of Belfast creates that focus centre, but this is an all Northern Ireland play, and we need the scales of all our towns and our villages to make that happen. Just in terms of Henry's point, I just want to pick up on that, in terms of that FDI and that services centre. And I think that just resounds in how great our people are, having worked at the first part of my career in that FDI element. 70% of our investors come here and reinvest, really strong US FDI link, which is really so critical with us, with the implications of the EU Brexit. So we've a really great sounding point to be there. From a salary base, Henry's right, the salary bases within Northern Ireland are lower than they are in the rest of the UK. But actually, on the ratio, the most recent ratios of salary bases to cost of living, it is the best place to work in the UK. From that ratio, average salary around 45,000 for within that tech sector. And really interesting stats as well from 2019 that showed that 25% of all jobs advertised in Belfast were in the digital tech sector, which is the highest in the UK as an overall whole. So again, shows that talent, demand and kind of quality of life piece. But Henry's right, you can't just focus on one area of the sector in the industry, and we have to make this ecosystem work. So along with those FDI players, we have to create the ecosystem for SMEs to compete for talent, but also to foster and develop programs that can allow them to flourish and to grow. And that's part of what we're doing within the digital pillar within the City Tail, creating those investment, those challenge fund instruments to provide investment into creating those clusters and those environments. And I guess making sure that we have that right balance between the FDI multinational, which is a critical part of creating a cluster, but also making sure that's delivering as well from our local ecosystem and creating kind of those next generation of entrepreneurs. And just in terms of your point regarding the growth in the sector, when I started the fund in Northern Ireland in 2013, very limited venture capital investment in that sector. And stats 5 years later showed a tenfold increase. And also over the last couple of years, I co-founded an AI startup within Northern Ireland with my partner. And actually the difference in that ecosystem that I have seen from my earlier days in venture capital is quite incredible. The level of co-investment that we're seeing coming into Northern Ireland from venture capitals outside of the area is really significant, and it's still early stages, and we have much more to do, particularly in terms of diversity and encouraging more female entrepreneurs. But the indicators are very positive in that regard. And actually what's been interesting through the pandemic was there's always been a difficulty that money didn't travel. But from my own experience, seeing a fundraise during the pandemic, some of those barriers have been removed, actually. So I think that bodes well as well, in addition to those broader kind of fundraising opportunities. And I guess those things have been created because the likes of those ecosystems, you know, 10 years ago, there weren't the incubators, there wasn't the Irma Baths, there wasn't Catalyst in place in terms of those level of scale, there wasn't those support ecosystems that Henry has spoke about. And also there's access to finance schemes that Invest and I have delivered within funds like TechStart, which are creating that early stage ecosystem development. And that's kind of creating that underpinning piece for the ecosystem. And I know in a recent TechNation report, they've looked and established Northern Ireland and Belfast as one of the key areas to level up. And they've looked at the ratios of those scale-up investments and the state investments and the optimum ratio to scale up as creating that platform for getting beyond those micro startups into that scale-up sector. So again, for me, it feels like we are in a renaissance time for innovation, entrepreneurship and digital within the Belfast region and Northern Ireland as a whole.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for going to such depth. I mean, this is actually a topic that we've found in a lot of the emerging ecosystems we've covered in this podcast series about, you know, at the ideation stage, at the incubation stage, there's lots of support. But then when a startup starts to grow, starts to see its revenue, go in the direction the venture capitalists certainly want it to, maybe there's not as many resources to sort of accelerate its growth and maybe go global, etc. I wonder, Henry, from an entrepreneur's perspective, what do you think the availability of sort of that later stage capital is in Belfast, or sort of the resources available to entrepreneurs trying to take their startups to the next level?
Yeah, good question, Alex. I mean, just quickly, because you had a previous question that I don't think Jane fully covered. So you mentioned, obviously, entrepreneurs returning to Northern Ireland. So there is actually some very visible entrepreneurs that have moved back recently. So Mark Dowd is a guy who's obviously involved in Ormu Baths, which is kind of like a co-working kind of central ecosystem of Belfast. So he's someone, for me, when I saw him go back, I was like, wow, because I really rate Mark, and obviously he's gone back now. And I think, obviously, you know, we'll see that increasingly. I mean, you know, people forget how many amazing people in tech are actually from Northern Ireland. So you've got Sarah Friars, who's obviously the CEO of Nextdoor, who's formerly at other huge Silicon Valley companies, etc. So, you know, I've actually for many years obviously been mentoring entrepreneurs on the ground in Northern Ireland. But obviously, as part of the diaspora, your opinion is relevant. But unless you're in Northern Ireland doing a startup, I think it doesn't really count, if you know what I mean. So I think, yeah, in terms of going back to your second question, I think people need to really realize that it's not government's role to make a startup work. You know, it's not the place of them to do that for you. You have to actually do it in collaboration with them, right? So late stage funding, Alex, for me is not a problem in Northern Ireland, because late stage funding is predominantly number based, right? So if you're growing 3x plus, of course you are going to get a late stage funding because it's a business opportunity. I think where the big problem is in the early stages. For me, I'm seeing a lot of the great work that Invest and I do, TechStart, Clarendon, you know, some of the more well-known investors in Northern Ireland, but it's still a very small pool. And one of the biggest gripes that I get from entrepreneurs that speak to me is that, you know, a lot of the investors in Northern Ireland are still asking them to do 100-page business plans, right? And, you know, in tech, you know, no one's going to read that. I mean, you're lucky if people read a 10-slide deck. You know, there is almost kind of a very old-fashioned way of looking at investment opportunities at the early stage. That being said, there is a lot of angels across the north. I mean, there's quite a lot of wealth in the north, right? I mean, from Derry to Belfast and in between and above and below, you know. And what's been very surprising for me is actually, you know, that the pace is picking up for that now. So, you know, I've got a village where I'm from, which is about 1,000 people, right? And in the two next door villages, people have recently told me that they're actually on an accelerator. One's on Ignite. Another is my cousin, and he's actually raised angel investment for his startup. So it's really, really happening now. But I feel that, you know, in Northern Ireland, culturally, the biggest problem is that actually it's quite a humble culture, right? So people don't tend to sing from rooftops about what they're up to naturally. And also, you know, it's kind of that you don't really self-praise. And as you guys know, in startups, you have to, you know, obviously I'm not saying you're going to basically blow your own trumpet, but you need to be passionate and speaking from the rooftop about what you're building for, in order for people to hear. You know, I think that is definitely changing now. I'm seeing obviously especially the younger generation actually really understand, you know, what goes into making a startup now. Obviously that information is accessible. But I really feel, and this is going back to my previous point where I thought it would be career suicide for me to move back to Belfast. Actually, I was completely incorrect, because I could have done it a few years ago, but I needed more experience, right? I needed to understand the process, what VCs needed to see. You know, I needed to understand, you know, obviously the kind of milestone mindset in terms of raising money. And also, look, I mean, raising money is actually not what I actually see as a marker of success. I mean, it's good in terms of representation and, you know, especially around equality for founders that are female or from under underrepresented groups. But, you know, for me, what's important right now in Northern Ireland is exits. You know, we need to have successful outcomes that are actually happening very quickly at a velocity that we're seeing in Berlin, that we're seeing in London, etc. Now, when I say a velocity, you know, I mean like 10 years, right? I'm not saying overnight successes, because that probably is not going to happen. But I mean, if you look at Kainos, for example, Kainos is a technology company in, well, headquartered in Northern Ireland. It was basically founded in the 80s as a joint venture between Queen's University on their commercialization arm and I think it was ICL. Now, basically, that company is a global leader in its field now in the government sort of tech space, and it employs over 1,000 people in multiple countries. But it took probably 20 years to get there, right? I mean, obviously, you know, and for me, really, what we need to do to get people excited about the Northern Ireland ecosystem is to create allies, right? To create world-class businesses. I mean, partly for me, you know, I think, you know, it's always a kind of flawed metric to kind of see unicorns as the only kind of example of success, because obviously, you know, there's a lot more than that. But, you know, I'm seeing positive signs. I think, obviously, there's a few companies that I've got my own at the moment that are at least 100 million and above in terms of valuation in the coming years. You know, I plan to build one myself, so obviously, which is what I'm doing, in order to really, you know, get attention. I mean, we don't really need to be celebrating raises, because that's just eggs. What we really need to focus on is how we're going to build the cake, what the cake looks like, and what that's going to have in terms of a relay kind of effect, right? Because if you look at Silicon Valley, the reason why Silicon Valley is where it is today is because it was founded on the history of military investment. You know, they've had generations of commercialization of a lot of those technologies, also from, you know, Berkeley and Stanford, etc. And I feel that, you know, if you look at Belfast as kind of an example, I think it's probably, you know, like Silicon Valley 40 years ago, or in my opinion, what's probably more relevant nowadays, it reminds me a lot of London in 2008 when I joined Just Eat. You know, Just Eat had no government help to become along the way it did, but I mean, it was later. You know, we basically just really doubled down on execution. We raised money on merit because obviously we actually did a lot of good work. And I feel that, you know, that's the key, right? Is that obviously the proof is in the pudding. You know, we really need to create that kind of success stories, because that will be what acts as kind of a magnet for future entrepreneurs to be creating companies in indigenous startups, and also for other companies to come and base there as well.
Whoa, so I said at the beginning that I didn't know much about the ecosystem, but I definitely feel like I'm walking away with a wealth of knowledge now, which is great. I don't know about you, Alex, but I think the biggest thing for me is obviously looking at the historical context and how that's kind of affected business and culture and people within the city and Northern Ireland as a whole, but also the geographic spread of it, right? So how obviously it's Belfast is such a plug and pull for talent, and how people from outside the city are ultimately coming in, and startups and tech and innovation is creating jobs. But on a more personal level, Henry said something that really stuck with me, which is ultimately that he for ages considered going back to Belfast, but kind of resisted because he thought it would be career suicide. Luckily for him, it hasn't been, which is fab. But as an immigrant myself, I just think that's something that's really interesting to me, just because obviously I've been in London for so long and I come from a very rural part of northwestern Spain. And, you know, the possibility of returning is always in the back of my mind, but yet I never really feel like I'm brave enough to do it. So, you know, people like Henry going back are going to have such a huge effect on the ecosystem, such a positive effect on that note. But what did you think? What are you going to walk away with?
I think what's quite interesting is that we've focused on the city ecosystems in this podcast, but actually, as Henry and Jane both said, you know, it's actually the Northern Ireland ecosystem as a whole, with Belfast the sort of being the main center of that. So it's kind of interesting that, you know, it's not just focused on one city. There are entrepreneurs all around. There was plenty there to pick up. I mean, you know, the potential brain drain from the professional services sector and the big four accounting firms in Belfast, and potentially some of the entrepreneurs leaving. And perhaps there is now a critical mass, particularly in the cybersecurity sector, that really is bringing back some of the top talent to Belfast. Very clear that there's some interesting things happening in the ecosystem, and I certainly can't wait to visit and find out more in person.
No, me either. And here's to the world returning to normal. With that said, that's a wrap for the first part of our Belfast episode. Stay tuned for next Friday, as always, where you'll get to hear part two, when Henry and Jane delve even deeper into the ecosystem in Belfast. But to everybody listening from home, please make sure you do subscribe so that you can keep up to date with all our content updates. And we'll see you next time.